Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. Welcome to Travel Talk Radio with your hosts, Bob and Sandy Nessoff, and our guest this evening, Evelyn Cantor. Sandy is off on assignment, and she will be back for our broadcast next week. In the meantime, we have Evelyn, who is a prolific writer, an author, a journalist, a world traveler, and tonight she's going to talk to us about things to do during the COVID-19 crisis, what you can do that's free, that's not free, and what you can do when the problem is wrapped up, resolved, and we're all back on the street again. Good evening, Evelyn. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Good to be with you again.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. Tell us now, we were talking about some of the things that you could do in and around primarily, well, not necessarily just New York, but in various areas. I see we have some stuff in Los Angeles and what have you. What are some of the things that you would suggest to somebody who's about to pound his head through the wall because he can't get out?
Well, I'm calling it roam from home. Practically every museum in the world now has a digital presence where you can take a tour. So whatever museum you loved that you visited in the past, whether it's the Met in New York or the Louvre in Paris or the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, you can go back and visit them online. The Met Museum actually has a 360-degree thing where you can walk around a particular gallery. And this stuff is all online, and it's all free. There are tours of the Carnegie Museum in Pittsburgh. You can take an architecture tour of a city. There are so many things to do right now. My favorite is something called the Virtual Wildlife Safari. You can actually go on a safari in South Africa on your computer, on your phone, on your laptop.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
Twice a day in the east. It's at 9:30 and midnight, which translates to dawn and dusk in South Africa, which is when the animals are active and out. And if you are actually there, you would be in a vehicle tracking the animals on safari.
We had some animals track us. We were in Kruger National Park, and we stayed in one of the enclosures. It looked like Fort Apache, and we were in a thatched roof rondavel. Sandy came out in the morning to get some fresh air. Well, we had to shut the windows, and we died because the generator was shut off, and we couldn't leave the window open. We didn't know what would crawl through it. Sandy walked out the front door, and I just suddenly heard a yell. I went to the door, and she's standing there surrounded by baboons. And, you know, quite an experience.
We're
in South Africa.
It changes. It's a guide who accesses different guides in South Africa. And you can access it on Wild Earth, one word, wildearth.tv. And then search from there for this virtual safari. So it's not lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It's elephants, giraffes, and lions, oh my.
And they're all walking around in their own natural habitat. That's really
exactly.
A great thing.
It's what you would see yourself if you were there, and you've saved yourself the price of an airline ticket and a 9 or 10 hour flight.
It's from New York. It's a 16-hour flight.
I went to Namibia a couple of years ago, which was absolutely fascinating. And what you're saying about Kruger, I sat at a watering hole in their large national park in Namibia, and I literally binge watched for 5 hours. I did not move. It was just this parade of animals, the elephants, and then they made way for the lions, and then they made way for the giraffes, and then they made way for the gazelles, and it was all. As soon as I'm finished, you can have your turn. Now it's your turn. They were all very polite. There was no fighting, no pushing. It was just amazing to watch.
That is a strange phenomenon, that animals that are natural enemies, that one would feed off the other one. When they come to a water hole or a feeding ground, they all seem to come together. Boy, could we learn from them?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, they all cleared out when the hyenas came.
Hey, well, nobody likes a hyena. We were driving down the road.
Also, when
you walked by us, and I'm yelling at it, "Hey, hyena!" It just stopped and looked at me.
Also, cruise lines and hotels are putting some of their chefs online. So Holland America Line, for example, has videos about the sea life of turtles and why conservation is important, but they're also streaming videos from their bartenders on how to mix drinks and videos from their chefs on how to create a particular dish. So it's almost too much to give you a list of this website. It's if you've been on a cruise line and you like that cruise line, go on their website and see if they've got videos or streaming. Visit a museum that you've always wanted to go to. I mean, right now is your chance to see the Mona Lisa without crowds because she's there virtually online.
Yeah, we never got in there to that section of the museum because the crowds were so heavy, we just passed on it. Let me ask you this, though. Coming a little bit closer to home, you talk about what there is for theater lovers as well. You've mentioned Andrew Lloyd Webber, Phantom, which was a fantastic show, Cats, which, frankly, I thought was one of the most boring shows I've ever seen. But a lot of people liked it.
One great song. Right now, every Friday, there's something called The Shows Must Go On, not show, shows plural. It's Andrew Lloyd Webber's YouTube channel. And each Friday, there is a different full-length musical on the YouTube channel. So I think last week was Phantom. I don't know what this week is. I haven't checked. The Metropolitan Opera is streaming a different opera every day. The New York Ballet, this would be the live theater season right now. So instead, the New York City Ballet at Lincoln Center is streaming a different ballet each day. Last night I watched Balanchine's Rubies. Stravinsky music, Balanchine choreography, fabulous.
And it's all free? There's no charge to sign in?
It's all free. The New York City Ballet is on either on their YouTube channel or on nycballet.com or lincolncenter.com, and then hunt around the prompts for the ballet. All of this is free. Going to see the Louvre Museum, but they're all closed right now. They're not selling tickets, so. They're encouraging donations, and I would encourage donations. Pay what you would have for an actual ticket. You can certainly afford to donate $10 to the New York City Ballet for the privilege of watching Balanchine and Stravinsky music on your computer at home or your computer TV.
How would you make the donation, online?
Yes, through the website that you're watching it at, or there's usually a prompt on the YouTube channel. There's always a way of donating. The Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, which is famous for its cherry blossoms, did a virtual walk on Sunday. Central Park did a virtual walk today. And these are guided by the park garden guides. It's free, but you're encouraged to donate, you know, $5, $10, whatever.
Sure, because they're hurting because nobody is actually showing up.
Precisely. Everything's closed. So the Metropolitan Museum of Art is closed. You can go visit it virtually online. Donate $5.
All right. I think we can afford that. Let me ask you this now. You mentioned when we were talking earlier that parents can entertain their kids with such as Dolly Parton reading children's stories online.
Yes. There are free books online. Dolly Parton has a program called Imagination Books, and she has donated more than 100 million books. That number is really correct.
Staggering.
100 million books to kids around the world, not just in the United States. And she has a program now where she just reads books one day a week. It's on Monday. Also, former First Lady Michelle Obama also reads books, children's books, every Monday afternoon. It's called Mondays with Michelle.
And it's almost like Fiorella LaGuardia and FDR with their fireside chats.
Exactly.
And LaGuardia reading the comics.
The Fiorella LaGuardia, Mayor LaGuardia, for whom the airport was named, was famous for reading the comics when there was a newspaper strike. What was that, in the 1930s? I wasn't around, but I do remember reading about it.
I was around. I think it was in the early 40s, but I won't swear to it. I know he was mayor when I was a kid in New York. But that went very well. And Roosevelt held his so-called fireside chats where he looked like, Fred Rogers.
Yep. Those were the first really smart uses of media by politicians.
Yep. What about armchair travelers? You mentioned South Africa and things like that, but what about people who like to travel but are being held prisoner in apartments and homes and condos and what have you?
You mean like me in my New York City apartment?
Yeah, or us here under house arrest with our daughters patrolling the street to make sure we don't get out and go to a store. You were talking earlier about pick a destination that's on a bucket list and get a free virtual tour. How would people go about you mentioned the museums, but what about national parks, Pittsburgh, the Grand Canyon, whitewater rafting, things like that? How would they go about that?
Go to the National Park Service site, nps.gov, and find a park, whichever one you want. Yellowstone, Yosemite, which my kids used to call Yosemite.
I get dirty looks at the house because I say the same thing.
No wonder we get along. But just pick a national park. And again, it's the same idea. You can take a hike in Yosemite now, a virtual hike, and it will be empty. As opposed to dealing with all of those other visitors in the summer. Some of the most beautiful parks are in Utah, Bryce, Zion. There's amazing scenery. And the National Park Service has photos. They have videos. You can check out the wildlife in a particular park, the flowers. Go to Joshua Tree National Park in Arizona and learn the history of these phenomenal trees, some of which are 400, 500, 600 years old. I was in New Mexico last fall, and I went to White Sands, which is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. It was a monument then. It became a national park a few days after I left. But it is miles and miles of white sand. It's just amazing.
Was that the proving ground?
That's right next door to the national park.
Okay. All right, Evelyn, we're going to have to hold for a moment now while we run a couple of commercials, but don't leave us, folks, or we'll be back in just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, with Evelyn Cantor.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000 calorie salad.
Ah, caramba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep-fried crunchy bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me. But if he stopped using lady-scented body wash and switched to Old Spice, he could smell like he's me. Look down. Back up. Where are you? You're on a boat with the man your man could smell like. What's in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It's an oyster with two tickets to that thing you love. Look again. The tickets are now diamonds. Anything is possible when your man smells like Old Spice and not a lady. I'm on a horse.
Fine.
Welcome back to Travel Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen, with your host tonight, Bob Nesoff, and our guest, Evelyn Cantor, author, traveler, lady about the world. Evelyn, let's just pick up on one thing before we move on a little bit. I know you're quite an expert, and you've done quite a bit of writing about cars. I've noticed something about auto lovers in a couple of museums in L.A. and various other places. Would you tell us about what they have to offer?
Well, the Peterson Automotive Museum in L.A. is probably one of the best in the world, and it has on its YouTube channel, it has 30-minute and 60-minute programs that are tours of the collection, and one of them is a collection of it's called the Vault, and it's rare Bugattis and Ferraris and Maseratis and some celebrity cars that just sit there and watch them pass by on your screen, and it's free. There's also in Germany, of course, in Stuttgart are the Porsche Museum and the Mercedes-Benz Museum. They are both online. You can go through the history of our love affair with cars.
Okay. Let's move on to some travel now. Traveling is very, very difficult. There was something on TV on the news the other night about an American Airlines plane where social distancing was 6 inches rather than 6 feet. Some of the airlines are talking now about middle seat empty in the front 13 rows, but in the back they'll jam them in again. What's your take on that?
Going to happen. It may not be right away. The planes may be reconfigured. My take is that it's all going to be more expensive, because if they have to keep seats empty instead of packing us in the way they used to, those unsold seats we're going to have to pay for. So you can expect prices to go up, airline prices to go up, and availability to go down, because I don't think we're going to go back to that full airline schedule of the past for a few years. So you may not be able to go when you want for how much you want to pay. And it's why I think that the first kind of travel that we're going to do is road trip domestically. Long before we get in planes, we're going to be getting into our cars. We're going to visit family. My daughter lives in Los Angeles. I'm not going to drive there. I will fly there, but I can certainly drive to see family in Pittsburgh, so rather than fly. So I think the first step, we're talking baby steps, the first step is the family road trip, which is great, because right now gas prices are ridiculously low. So we can take advantage of that. Also, we talked national parks before. Don't overlook your state parks. There are some wonderful state parks. I'm in New York. You're in New Jersey. We both of our states have wonderful parks. There's canoeing, rafting, all kinds of things, camping available in state parks. I think that's the first kind of travel that we're going to do. And families who have never rented an RV before, this may be the year to do that. Also, the state parks are less crowded than the national parks, generally. And they're closer.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've seen gas prices go down low. I know New Jersey has got fairly low prices compared to New York, and our mutual friend Robert Sinclair from AAA is on the radio and television quite often talking about it.
Yeah.
And I know some of the gas stations near us are in the 160s a gallon, which we have not seen in I don't know how long. That would lead people to want to go, get in the car, drive, go somewhere, when they're allowed to get out of the house.
Yes. And you should make sure that your car is in proper working condition, especially if it's been sitting in the driveway or the garage while you've been on lockdown or stay at home or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Now, by next, I know you and I both have belonged to the Ski Riders Association, and we both love to ski. What do you think is going to be for skiing in Europe? A lot of Americans would head over there. Do you think that's going to pick up again?
I really don't know. I think before we get on a plane to Europe, we'll get on a plane to Colorado, Utah, or California. I think we'll be skiing closer to home this year because, again, you need to plan a European trip much further ahead. Friends of mine are already planning a trip to France in January, and I'm debating it. I haven't made up my mind because I don't know what the flights are going to be like in January internationally. I don't know what the travel requirements are going to be. Will we still be quarantined for 2 weeks when we get there? Which will make a European ski trip impossible. So I just don't know. My crystal ball is not working on that one.
And my favorite place in the world to ski is Park City in Utah. And I think the mountains that we have out west in the United States rival virtually anything that you can find in the Alps or anywhere else.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the last time you and I skied together was in New Mexico some years ago.
Yep. Taos is a wonderful place to ski. Salt Lake City is a great destination because you've got half a dozen ski areas within a half an hour of one another and within a half an hour of the airport. So I stayed with some friends downtown Salt Lake City this winter, and we went to a different ski area each day. We went to Alta one day. We went to Snowbird another day. We went to Snow Basin another day, Park City another day, Deer Valley another day, all within 30, 40 minutes of the downtown hotel.
Hello?
Ah, Sandy's home. Hello, Sandy.
Hello, Sandy.
How are you? Welcome to the talk.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were on the phone. I just heard a voice, so I was waiting until I got a breakthrough.
We're talking with Evelyn Cantor over here.
Hello, Evelyn Cantor over there.
Hello, Sandy. You know, what we haven't done yet is spell my name so people can find me online. It's EvelynKantor. So you can find my website at evelyncantor.com, and my other website is NYC on the cheap for people who don't want to spend too much money in New York City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you've got quite.
All right, I'm going to let you two talk, and I'm going to hang up because I was making another call anyway. Okay, bye.
Oh, that was professionalism. You've got things to do where people can go to places for free and see things and do things. Do you want to discuss any of that?
Yeah. I thought that's what we've been discussing all of.
We did.
When New York City finally opens up, there's plenty to do. There are museums in New York City that are free all the time, like the National Museum of the American Indian in Battery Park, which is a branch of the Smithsonian that is free 365 days a year. It's not open right now, but again, you can visit it online. It's National Museum of the American Indian, so it is NMAI.org, part of the Smithsonian. Other museums in New York have a free afternoon or a free evening. Some of them are once a week. Some of them are the first weekend of the month. It ranges. And, of course, nothing is open right now. The Staten Island Ferry is free all the time, but it passes the Statue of Liberty. It doesn't go on to the Statue of Liberty. For that, you need to take something called the Statue Cruise, which is a franchise, and that gets you onto both Liberty Island and Ellis Island. And although we can't visit either Lady Liberty or Ellis right now, their collections are online. So if you have nothing else to do right now, you can trace your family history with the Ellis Island collections. You can become a genealogical detective and trace your family roots. That's a really excellent thing to do.
Yeah, the Statue of Liberty is always one of the major destinations in New York. But for some time, people were prohibited from going above the base of the statue. Are they allowed up into the statue, the crown itself now, do you know?
You can get into the crown. Again, we're talking about when everything opens up again.
It opens.
But it only holds six or eight people at a time. So for that, you need specific reservations, and those get booked out weeks, months ahead. You can go into the statue and climb it, but not into the crown.
Okay.
And there's a new museum at the base that opened last summer, which is absolutely beautiful.
And there are some other very interesting sites along the Hudson River. You've got the Circle Line, which will take you around the island. And tell us, are you familiar with the Intrepid?
The Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum, it is an actual U.S. warship that is now a museum of the Navy and the Air Force. The spaceship Enterprise is there, not the one that Captain Kirk was in, but the one that actually was our space shuttle, which was actually named after Captain Kirk's Starship Enterprise. And there's the flight deck, because this is an aircraft carrier. The flight deck has a collection of historic airplanes and helicopters on it, which you can climb into and check out.
Okay, we're going to be wrapping up in just less than a minute right now. Our guest is Evelyn Cantor, who is a very well-versed, as you've heard, world traveler, and has quite a bit of information on things to do. Evelyn, is there anything you would like to say to wrap up in the last minute we have?
Go travel. It is the most wonderful way to experience the world and life, and it will teach you that we all have more similarities than differences.
I have found that to be so true, and we've made friends around the world, as I'm sure you have, and
exactly.
It's always a pleasure to see them. Okay. Hopefully, sooner rather than later, the quarantine will be lifting, and people will be able to travel again. And I think I'll be traveling on anybody but Spirit Airlines, which I like to refer to as spiritless. But the other airlines are coming along. Prices are going to go up, so put your money away and get ready to travel and see things. Evelyn, thank you very much for being our guest this evening.
Thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen, join us again next week for Travel Talk Radio when Sandy will be back instead of just popping in on the phone. Have a good night, everybody. Good night, Evelyn.
Good night, Bob.